called Paul and me, and R.E.M. was playing in New York this weekend, and I was in New York this weekend, but I didn't go see R.E.M., but it was sort of 60 degrees of separation. I feel very close to R.E.M., let me just say that.
Why is that?
Because I was in New York and they were.
Also
because, you know, of course their name is all about sleep, and I'm very interested in sleep right now, and we actually have a sleep expert who's going to be on the show later today, ostensibly to talk about the problems of high school students getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is to maybe let him talk about that for about 2 minutes and then switch the topic to me.
That seems to be happening a lot.
Yeah, I'm actually very...
Lately.
It's really sort of my favorite topic on the show is me right now. So you haven't said a word about my haircut. I got my haircut. What do you think?
It's different.
Don't rush. What did you just say? Different?
I said it's different.
Different is not what I need to hear.
It's... Make sure
okay.
Like somebody.
Don't say another word. Don't say another word. Just let it sink in for a while. Okay?
It looks like something, but I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Let it sit in, sink in for a while. I'll get back to you on it in 20 minutes when you've really had a chance to. It's hard because I have the headphones on. But,
Is it different?
It is different, yeah. I got my hair cut on Astor Place, in the Astor Place in New York. One of the things that you can do, but it's like a red badge of courage thing, and a lot of celebrities do this, believe it or not, is you go to Astor Place, and you go there, and they're like just angry people there to cut your hair, and it's very cheap, and you just walk in, and they grab you, and they cut your hair, and they're so angry, and you just kind of hope that it's all going to work out. I was there on Saturday, and so I had a little time, so I went down to Astor Place, and you know, like, I'm talking big celebrities, like Judd Nelson, for example.
Judd Nelson?
Yeah, and John Malkovich gets his hair shaved at Astor Place. And you know the guys from 98 Degrees?
Right.
Some of them used to get their hair cut at Astor Place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, so far, it's really really impressive.
At the moment, I think, you know, one of them is probably manning the sour cream gun at Taco Bell.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right.
98, they had their moment anyway, 98 Degrees. They were important to our culture.
So this is essentially a work of art, then.
So I go into Astor Place, and I know I'm just taking my life in my hands, because the other thing is, you know you're going to be used, there's going to be clippers used on you that were like, you know, used to give like a red mohawk to some, you know, guy with hepatitis B 20 minutes ago. But, so it's
another plus.
It's a little terrifying in that regard, too. So anyway, I go in and I say, okay, you know, I want to get my haircut. They all sort of look at you like, what are you doing here? And you have to say, I want to get a haircut. So I said, okay, I want to get my haircut. So the guy goes, okay, go upstairs and see Regina. So I go upstairs, and that's sounding good to me. Regina sounds like the good name of somebody to cut my hair.
So you found out it was a man.
Well, that's a possibility at the Astor Place in the hair salon. But in fact, it wasn't a man. It was this really, really angry Russian woman. And so, you know, and I always try to be kind of a little bit ingratiating when I begin this process.
Right.
So what I said, she said, well, and I said, well, I said, I pointed, you know, if you recall the way my hair looked like last week, for a while, I've been doing this kind of touch of a poet thing, you know, where I comb my hair back, but the forelocks kind of droop down a little bit. And the effect, I think you'd have to agree, has been devastating.
Touch of a poet.
I noticed that you've been devastated anyway. And
so much so I didn't even notice.
Yeah, but I was ready to get rid of that. So I said to her, I pointed to my head and I said, we've got to do something, right? Which I thought was a good way to begin. She goes, I don't know, it's your hair. I said,
well,
yeah.
Good comeback.
Yeah. So I said, well, what do you think? What do you think? She goes, I don't know. You decide what you want with your hair. Now, she was like, not going to give me an inch on this. And then we said a few more things. And then she started cutting my hair. She turned out she was really especially angry about how hot it was up there. So it's too hot up here. You can't even cut hair. I said, well, when I go
Let's
down.
Let's go out the street.
Yeah, when I go downstairs to pay, I will tell them to turn the heat down. And she goes, you do. You tell them that. I said, well, I will tell them that. When I go downstairs, she goes, you tell them you can't cut hair up here. I said, I will. I will say, it's like she wouldn't believe that I was doing this. And as usual, as is the case at the Astor Place, you know what else I got there? Remember the time I was doing the article about whether I could be cool or not at the age of 44?
Yes, so, I remember
that's where,
that.
That's where I got my haircut that
time.
So, and you just know that there's just so much anger being lavished on your hair that your hair's going to either look really cool or really horrible. And I still haven't really decided yet.
So, no, it doesn't look horrible.
Okay, now I also have to discuss, and then I swear to God we'll stop talking about me. Maybe.
No, we won't.
Maybe.
No, we won't. It's been 7 years and we haven't stopped yet. What do you mean? Come on.
I want you to look at my shoes. I need you also to look at my shoes, okay? Because my shoes are very controversial.
What's so controversial about that? Those are neat.
Well, thank you. I think they are, too. I bought them in Soho on Saturday, right after I got my haircut. And they're Tsubos. They're Tsubos, and I bought them in Soho. Or they're Sohos, and I bought them in Tsubo. I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. And they within a year, they will be the happening shoe brand around here. But they're very odd-looking. They look a little bit like sort of outer space shoes.
Oh, I think they're nice.
Yeah, I think they are, too, because I think they have a lot going on.
You know what I tell you? You know who look good in a pair of those?
Who?
Helmecki.
Yeah, they are Helmecki's. Helmecki takes a lot of his shoe ideas from
right.
me, although he is a great promoter of the various colors of high Converse look, mm-hmm. which is, in fact, a low-budget, geek, cool look. He looks very hip in a low-budget, geek way. He's got green Converse, he's got yellow Converse, high-top canvas Converse.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I got Campers, which I got before anybody else in Hartford got them, and then I had to spend a year explaining to people why I was cool until people actually found out about a year later.
Mm-hmm.
He was very interested in the Campers. So I do think that he and I are in the same kind of geek path.
Yeah, it's tough, though, when you and Helmecki are the only two in the area that understand this.
Yeah.
And it takes the rest of the world like a whole year to catch up.
Yeah, Holmes' whole level of shoe sophistication. So anyway, now, let's talk about you, all right? That's enough about you, really.
Talk about me.
Although, I'd like to come back to my haircut.
Nothing to talk about with me.
Well, is there any truth to this rumor that you might be stepping in for Roy? Because I've heard this three places that Siegfried and Bruce, is there any possibility that this is going to happen?
Oh, that Roy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
I've heard it from three different people who were unrelated, not even here at the radio station. A sense that you would be like the only person.
I must admit that the thought of being dragged off stage with a tiger with your jaws sunk into your neck, I think that's it's pretty appealing.
You work 8 years with tiger. You know, how many years did you work with that tiger? Like 8 years or something like that.
Not with that tiger. That was a new tiger.
Oh, it was a new tiger.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, how many years have you been doing this forever, and nothing's ever happened to him? What do you expect? Once in a while, the tiger's going to get you.
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah. Once in a while. I mean, it seems to me he had a good run, and I'm sure he'll come back. But
I don't think so. I think they're done.
The whole thing is over?
Yeah, I think so.
No more Siegfried and Roy?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty much kaput. Problem is, what do the Tigers do now?
Because, you know, like when...
you know what it was?
What?
You know why that Tiger was upset?
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Tigers. I'm watching this all year. Tigers getting the hell beat out of them. After a while, it gets to you. So you turn on people. That's what happened.
Did you see the article in the... it's on page one of the New York Times today. And I think it's in the Bronx. It's either in the Bronx or Harlem. In some projects. It's in Harlem, because it's Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard, right? Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard. This guy's living in the projects, and he gets a tiger cub. And so he starts he starts raising the tiger cub, and it gets bigger and bigger. And pretty soon his foster mother, like, flips out and moves to Philadelphia. She's like, I'm not living with this tiger anymore, all right? I'm out of here. So she takes, like, the rest of the kids and stuff, and she goes. Meanwhile, this guy is 37 years old, and he's starting to have trouble controlling the tiger.
Is it the 400-pound...
The 400-pound tiger, yeah. He's living in the project. He's got a 400-pound tiger. And so, so then he finally moves to the apartment next door because he can't live with the tiger anymore.
So the tiger's got its own apartment?
The tiger, look, you take the place. It's rent-controlled. It's rent-controlled. Have the place, all right? I'll move next door. We'll talk. So... He moves out of his apartment. He lets the tiger have it. And then it says, and this is from the article in the New York Times today, he continued to feed the tiger by throwing raw chickens through a door open just narrowly enough to keep a paw the size of a lunch plate from swiping through, the neighbor said. So here's this guy. He's going next door with raw chickens, and he whips them in there and slams the door. And you're thinking, only in New York, because, like, the neighbors aren't going, you know, you better get rid of that freaking tiger, all right? I'm really tired of having the tiger, too. But eventually the tiger did, I guess, get him. I mean, not that bad, but, you know. He claimed that a pit bull, this is why pit bulls get blamed for a lot of stuff that tigers actually probably do. He claimed a pit bull bit him. And I guess it didn't really look like anything a pit bull would have done. So they basically had to have a sharpshooter rappel down the side of a building and shoot the tiger through the window with a tranquilizer dart. In order to knock the tiger out and get him out.
I saw a tape of that last night. Now, wasn't there something else, too, that they had, like, some kind of an alligator?
Yeah, he had all kinds of stuff. He had a monkey or maybe two, and a hyena at one point. And not too many people have pet hyenas.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't give a hyena its own place.
Right, no. But a tiger, you say, look.
Yeah, well. See, maybe Roy should have taken a tip for that. You know?
Well, there's a lot of Tiger news today, is all I'm saying. So, but no truth to the rumor anyway that you'll be stepping in there.
Oh, not that I'm aware of. I have talked to them, but...
Did you see this program, Joan of Arcadia, last night?
I haven't seen it yet.
Janine, our program director, was curious. She saw it today.
Isn't that kind of exploiting God, anyway?
Well, I guess she was wondering whether people were bothered by that or not. And I don't know, because I didn't know the show was on last night, and I was involved with my betting, so I didn't really want to watch television.
With your what?
My betting. I had a little loss of control.
Betting?
Yeah. I had a loss of control in Bed Bath & Beyond on Thursday. I don't think I mentioned it.
Oh, I thought you meant you had to wash it.
No, I bought a lot of bedding.
You know how you Bed Bath & Beyond's the best.
It really is.
I love that.
I really have become, I didn't used to care about anything like this, but now my feeling is, if I'm going to die alone, I want to die alone on Egyptian cotton sheets.
That's the best.
800 thread count, preferably. It's kind of a relationship thing.
Yeah.
So then you like walk around Bed Bath & Beyond, and you could get mesmerized so easily because there are so many choices.
Yep.
Like, do I want like a comforter with a duvet cover on it, and do I want a flannel sheet? What do I want to do? And you fill up your cart with like a whole bunch of things, and you kind of put this little ensemble together, and you go, no, that's not what I want to do. And you have to empty the cart out and start all over again.
See, this isn't exactly, in the past how people have called and they've kind of hinted at a certain image that you might have, and that kind of thing. You're not doing anything here to dissuade them from thinking.
Oh, really?
It's
like a gay thing to be... I didn't feel gay doing this.
Not necessarily. No, I've done it.
Yeah. Because I think what's happened is, think about this. Our parents had beds, right? They went to their beds, they slept in their beds. They had, they had Percale. Remember Percale?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even hear about Percale anymore. Was the last time anybody, or Percal, I don't even know how you say it. Percale, I think. When's the last time anybody mentioned that? Because now you go there, and it really is. It's like, do I want Pima? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you really are creating this little sort of very particularized, idiosyncratic domain for yourself. Our parents did not have that experience.
No.
No, they just bought beds, and
that was it.
Yeah.
Yep.
There were no duvets. Nobody ever said the word duvet in my presence in my childhood.
No.
Well, all right, then.
All right.
I think we should take a break.
We showed it at 322. The number is 522-WTIC.
I want to talk about how John Rowland could possibly be named to a National Advisory Council on Homeland Security.
What? That is pretty funny.
Did O.J. turn them down or something like that? This is mind-boggling. But anyway, I want to talk about that. We'll have the sleep expert coming up. And at some point, we'll talk to the local representative from the National Organization for Women, NOW, about Arnold's groping problems.
In today's New York Post, something very interesting about the tiger. It indicates that the housing authority, I guess the man that owned the tiger lived in public housing.
Yeah.
Housing authority had no reports of a tiger.
No.
But a downstairs neighbor said she filed 3 complaints about the animal urinating out the window.
Yeah.
Now, how is that possible?
I think it's hard to train a tiger to urinate out the window.
Well,
it's quite an accomplishment, actually.
Instead of quality.
You'd complain about that. You'd be complaining if the tiger was urinating in the floor above you and stinking up the house. It's clean urinating out the window. That's ideal.
What floor did they live on, though?
They were on the 5th floor.
Oh, well, that's,
I have to hang up.
All right, bye. She has to go urinate.
Open the window!
Yeah, open the window first.
Get that window open!
Let's talk to Brian in his car.
Brian.
Better. I have a lot of respect for the people who worked on this thing. So thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Yeah, it is true, by the way, that Governor Rowland was appointed to this national... National Homeland Security Advisory Council. He was just recently sworn in as a member of this. And I'm thinking...
To do what?
I don't know. But first of all, do these people have to be vetted in some form? Doesn't somebody sort of do like a background check or something?
Are you trying to imply that perhaps he wouldn't be fit for this?
Well, he's like about to spend the next year of his life fighting off indictments. I'm just sort of thinking, maybe President Bush has it takes an evildoer to catch an evildoer theory that he's implementing here. But the other thing is, okay, let's say that you don't think that Governor Rowland is in any way responsible for the swirl of malfeasance around him in his own administration, okay? Let's imagine...
It's almost as funny as the Homeland Security.
Yeah. Let's imagine that you don't think that any of that is his responsibility, which means that you buy his explanation. What is his explanation? His explanation, now listen carefully. Keep in mind that this man has been sworn in as a member of the Federal Homeland Security Advisory Council. His explanation...
He used to pick the colors and stuff.
I'm not sure if they get to do that or not. His explanation would be that he was completely oblivious to the fact that people were committing felonies, like a doorway away from his office. know, his explanation would be that he had no idea that there were crimes, federal crimes, being committed all around him by key players in his administration. So as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't let this guy check IDs at the Brickyard. You know, I wouldn't let him run the X-ray machine at the airport, because he has no idea what's happening. That's his explanation. He has no idea what's going on. You know, that's his policy, is that somebody could be strangling somebody else next door and he wouldn't know. You know, that people give money illegally to Enron, hey, and that his treasurer, his state treasurer, is goofing around in every possible way with state money.
So you missed a few.
His deputy chief of staff is taking bribes and burying Krugerrands in his yard, and his Department of Public Works guy is taking free architecture work from and that he himself commits crimes and is unaware of them too. You know, he takes all these things and the Homeland Security Advisory Council is like the only organization that hasn't fined him recently. So anyway, his whole explanation is these bad things happen and he doesn't know about them. Maybe. Why would you want him in charge of Homeland Security?
Maybe Homeland Security is looking for a cheap place to have meetings.
Yeah.
You know, they get some of those vacation halls.
He could book the travel for them.
Yeah,
they do meet abroad.
That could be it.
They're meeting in Detroit, I think, or they just did meet in Detroit or something like that. So maybe he handled that. Maybe found them a nice place in Grosse Pointe. But
this is great. Did you see the press release? The governor will be sworn in as a member of the council at the start of the meeting? That's good.
I his entire explanation of his own current circumstances is that he doesn't know what's happening, and he's unable to detect when people are committing crimes quite nearby him.
Look at it this way. It gets him out of the state.
That's true. Well, clearly, he called up and said, please give me something. Come on, give me something. I'm dying here. I'm dying.
But not something that takes any, confirmation.
Yeah, this is going to be the most nothing commission. These people, I would be amazed if they're allowed to make lemonade on this commission. Because, really, this must be the most loser commission in the world that has no enforcement powers whatsoever.
Live from Raleigh, North Carolina,
AIDS Control.
Thanks for bringing this up, Rick.
I had a total loss of control of that. I've spent so much money on stuff, but I really kind of decided, my philosophy now is, if I'm going to die alone, I want to die alone on Egyptian cotton sheets, 800 thread count minimum, and with a nice duvet, too. So that's where I'm at right now. And I also got one of those European pillows, because I was pretty sure that I did have that, the Maritime Hotel, one of those square European pillows. And it's one of the reasons that I'm the relaxed, amiable person you see here today, because I'm sleeping on much better bedding.
I'm glad there's an explanation for it.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Don't bother me anymore, okay, Rick? I just have no idea.
You handle that one well.
Well, I just don't know. Yeah.
Here's Steve in a car. Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Colin that he is hypocritical.
Thanks.
Thanks
for your support.
About Rowan.
Yeah. Thanks for your support.
No. I'm with you.
Whoop, he's cutting out. Bring him back. Bring him back.
I want to bring him back in.
I want to
see if you can get him. Yes. Get him back.
Yes. Black on that signal, Scotty. Oh.
Lithium crystals are overloading again, Captain Sutter. I can't hold it much longer.
Yeah. Well, you can use the men's room, and then we'll go out to the restaurant, all right?
You got to bring this guy back more often.
Yeah, he's just a million laughs, isn't he?
I love him.
He's so much fun.
I love him.
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a traffic cop.
Yeah, I wrote all of his material for him, all right? Anyway, we don't have time to undertake anything else, I don't think. But we should probably thank the guests who were on today, and